Hey, this is Mike, co-founder of the Bronx Brand and executive producer of Creative Hustle. Thanks for listening.
Look, I've been waiting so long for recognition. Keep my head above water, causing friction. Maybe I could be the one that you could spit. Maybe I could be the one to make you care. Please pass me the light, cause my L not lit. How the fuck you hustle, but you ain't got shit.
What it do? It's your boy Josh DWH. We are here back with another episode of the Creative Hustle Podcast, where we highlight Bronx talent. Today, we have Juani. Please introduce yourself to the people.
Hi, I'm Juani Feliz from the Bronx, and I'm an actress, among other things.
Thank you for coming up to the show today. We do appreciate you coming out. What part of the Bronx are you from?
I grew up close to around the Fordham area, 182nd and Thibaut Avenue.
What is that? What train line is that?
That's off the D train. Off the 182nd D.
You don't know your train lines, man. Nah, that's dope. So what's your background?
So I'm from the Dominican Republic. I was born in Santo Domingo, but my parents came to the US when I was one. So I came with them and I was raised in the Bronx up till when I left for college. And then my parents moved to Yonkers, and then I kind of like never really lived back home. I just did my own thing after that.
And how old are you, for the people that don't know?
You never ask a lady that question.
No, I know. He puts me on the spot. Trust me. I know not to ask a woman how old her age is. But for the viewers and the listeners,
I'm 29.
That's tuning in. 29. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, being that he told me that you went to Harvard and you're an alumni. What did you study when you went to Harvard?
I did my undergrad in bioengineering, and then I did my master's at Harvard as well, and I did management, master's in
What's
management.
Bioengineering? What is that?
So bioengineering is like the field of engineering for anything medical related. So it could be engineering for prosthetic limbs, artificial organs, or it could be the engineering of drugs, of like the system releases of drugs. It could also be engineering of materials that are used for the body, like biocompatible materials or equipment that they use in the hospital, like EKG machines, the scans, MRI machines. So there's different fields within bioengineering for the different, focuses.
So you did that first before the bachelor's? Or?
Well, that was my bachelor's.
Okay, so, yeah. And you did the bachelor's before the master's, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you said, what did you study? What was the second thing?
Management.
Management.
Business management.
And is that what you like initially wanted to do, or?
No, I mean, like, I started acting before college. So I started acting when I was 14. Did it throughout high school. That's when I got my first few credits. And then I got accepted to Harvard. So then it became that decision of, I was gonna move to Massachusetts for that.
Mike was telling me, he was saying that you guys went to high school together, right?
Yeah, we did.
He was telling me that you didn't, like, you applied. Did you apply for other schools, or Harvard was like the main
one? That was the only one. Because I applied early, and I found out I got in around December, mid-December. And usually,
that's a hard school to get into, right?
Yes. And then like I applied through, I think it was like Early Action. I think it's what it's called. I forget. It's so long ago. But all the applications tend to be due like January 1st. But by mid-December, I already knew. And I was just threw away all the other applications because I just knew that's where I would go.
Were you involved with any scholarships, or was just playing?
Well, Harvard has a really good like initiative for need-based students. So they meet you based on your finances, your parents' finances, and they provide you with the money you need. Like, it's need-based, not necessarily merit-based. So it's like, if you need the money to go there, they're gonna take care of you, which is amazing. I didn't know that before going into it.
I have no idea about that.
But yeah, I lucked out, so.
Nah, that's dope. Yeah. So you dormed out there.
Mm-hmm.
What was that experience like for you?
It was fun. I mean, I think I always speak to like my sisters and my friends, and I think I had a very different undergrad experience from them. It's just a different environment and school, and they have their own rituals and like very rooted, how do you say it? Like customs and routines and the way they go about things. I had a great time, but I also felt like I was like an outlier there. Just because.
By outlier, what you mean by that?
I just didn't feel like I. It took me a while to find my group, like my niche group. I think it wasn't until I was my 30 there that I met the people that I really consider friends to this day. And it was a very small pool. I've never been the type to like fit in with mainstream culture. I don't know why. It's just like.
Not your thing.
I'm so particular about very different things. I mean, I get along great with everyone. It's just, there wasn't one group that I felt like, oh, this is who I'm gonna spend the rest of my time
here
with.
These are the besties right here.
Yeah. But I do have my few closest friends that I made there, so. Yeah.
So, how did acting come into play? Like, what role, like, what age did it hit you, like, all right, this is what I wanna do? Because you said you studied bioengineering, and of course you need to have a backup plan because, you know, it's not always a short
and
shot.
And I'm an immigrant.
You feel
so
me?
So it's that immigrant mentality where, like, you need to hustle. Yeah. You need to know what
you need to have
a
plan A, B, and C.
And my parents were not about that. Like, you want to have an artistic life? Yeah, right. We didn't bust our asses here for you to do that. That's just the mentality that they have. So, and I also, going into college, I also knew I wasn't going to study acting there. I just knew because I was able to see that there was so many acting coaches and acting institutes
in New York City
that, like, I didn't feel like I needed to dedicate my 4 years at a private school doing that when I knew that there was other places that I could study acting at.
So it stemmed out before high school?
What, acting?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that came about, I was in the eighth grade and I auditioned for this play that we were putting together. It was Othello. I didn't get the role I wanted, and I was really, really devastated because I prepared so well. I thought I killed it. Yeah. I was like, there's no way. Like, I just put my heart and soul into it. And then I was still part of the production. I got a smaller role, and I just noticed that I took it a lot more serious than everyone else. And I really enjoyed it.
And what grade
was
this?
This was eighth grade.
Okay.
And there was one other kid who took it as seriously as well. And he also went down the path of becoming an actor too. But it was just like, for everyone else, it was a hobby. And then for me, that's when the switch flipped. And I was like, I think I'm gonna figure out how do you do this for a living? Like, how do you actually become an actor? So that's when like I had access to the internet. That's when like, we had AOL, and I finally had my username and everything. So I would like, after school, I would just research how to become an actor. And it's so funny because there was so much limited information then, but I was able to find what I needed. They said, get a headshot, get an acting coach, get an agency. So I was like, Mom, I need headshots, I need acting lessons, and I need an agent. So my mom takes me to Sears to do portraits to get my first like picture, and then
shout out to Sears.
And I don't know who it was told me, like, honey, that's not a headshot, like, you need like a professional headshot. So I got a professional headshot, and then I just printed these little notes saying, my name is Juani Feliz, I was 14. I was like, I'm 14 years old and I'm interested in becoming an actress. I am bilingual. And then I just like probably put a bunch of skills there. It was literally a note. I didn't have a resume. Yeah. And I sent it out to like agencies and managers that I found.
Did anyone
online.
Get back to you? Or?
Yeah. So then the manager I ended up for signing with, she had like an open call for kids. She was a manager for children. And I went with my mom. It was so funny because I remember she looked at my nails and she said, let your nails grow a little bit. And then she's like, I think you're good. We'll send you, we'll have you sign a contract. And then from then on, she would send me on like commercial auditions, voiceover auditions, some TV and film. And I think I booked one of my first auditions. It was like for a PSA. And that was like a validating event for me. And I was like, I'm gonna keep doing this. This is fun. Like being on set for the first time, that totally just.
Were you working for a big paycheck or a little paycheck?
At the time, I didn't handle the money. Yeah. I just didn't care. Like, I was doing it for the experience. My mom, I know I definitely made raking my parents some money in high school. Shoot. But I didn't care about that. I was just like a kid. But I had to pay my mom back for all those, like, for act, because I also took some acting classes, and those were expensive.
It adds up, yeah.
And then there's these institutes that totally, like, rip you off. Then they tell you they're going to make you a star.
Yeah.
And I totally brought my parents down that hole. So they lost a lot of money that way. But
I mean, there's always a lot of money putting into something that you might not see back. But yeah. Shout out to the finessers for that. I wanted to ask you this. Who's your favorite actor or actress?
I don't know that I have an absolute favorite. I always love Leonardo DiCaprio. I just think he does really, like, the films and stuff he does. Sort
of. Gangs of New York or Wolf of Wall Street?
Gangs of New York.
Okay.
Because I feel like he tries his best to stretch himself and do things that out of his comfort zone. He's not someone that's relied on a pretty face.
Yeah.
I don't think. Meryl Streep is amazing. Like, she just makes my heart stop every time I see her. I think she's stunning. She's super talented and graceful. And I also brought in someone that I feel like whose career is kind of one that I've watched and, like, really admire where it's gone. It's like Gina Rodriguez. I think she's definitely been someone whose journey I can parallel to myself. And, like, she started off just hustling the way I am right now and getting to where she is, and she uses her platform so appropriately. She speaks out on things that she's passionate about. She's funny, charismatic, and, you know, she's lovable, and that's kind of, I like her career, the way she carries herself, and for her, like, that's someone I see because that I would say is someone whose career I really like because she's also close to my age, right? So, and she's Hispanic, and she's had to break those barriers as well. Being a lead of her own TV show. Like, you know, that's something that she probably at some point didn't think was possible, and then she convinced herself was possible, and she did it. And this is just the beginning. Not the beginning, but, like, this is still very early on for her and where she's gonna go. So I admire her career trajectory, and I'm excited to watch her grow and learn from her, you know.
Would you like to work with her in the future?
Yeah, of course. I just want to see as many Latina actresses and actors come onto the screen, just as Asian actors, Black actors. I just want to see more diversity, inclusion.
Had a role where you had to, like, speak full on Spanish, like, in the role?
No, not yet. In commercials, yes. But not anything TV filmed yet.
That's good though.
But I could do it, you know.
I could do it. If anybody's out there listening, we could do that.
I could do it.
Nah, that's dope. So for those that don't know already, you were in The Purge election year, if I'm not mistaken, right? Now, what role did you play in The Purge?
Schoolgirl number 2. No, it was like I was.
That
one
was
of,
the ones that they were riding around in the car. No?
Yeah, it was one of the little high school troublemaking girls that dressed up and was riding around in the little cars.
The candy bar thing.
Into a huge mess over a candy bar. Yeah, I was part of that entourage.
How was
in
that?
The green suit too.
How was that for you?
That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun.
Was that your first, like, big mainstream role?
Well, the thing is, when I went away to school, I stopped acting and I took a really long break from it. And then I entered, like, the workforce. Like, I was working in a bioengineering institute for 3 years and doing a master's. So I was away from acting for a while. And it was around my third year at this job that it really hit me how much I miss acting, and I felt like I just had these moments where I was at work and I was like, what am I doing here? I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the bioengineering field and my work that I did there, but there was just something missing, and I felt that very strongly then. So I started, you know, doing what I had to do to try to get back to acting, reaching out to my former manager. She was inactive, but she was trying to connect me with like people that were gonna be able to represent me. But I did my, and I was in Boston at this time, because I stayed there after college. So I started to see what I could do in Massachusetts, who I can like, what casting offices were there.
Were there any?
Very few. But then I was able to audition for The Purge there.
In Massachusetts?
Yeah, because it's shot in Rhode Island.
Okay.
So they were casting for it in Massachusetts and in New York.
And how did you like come about finding that like specific one? Like, did it come to you like through your manager or?
I eventually got an agent in Boston.
Oh, like, and they just give you the like, and oh, then go they, here for yeah. this audition.
Mm-hmm.
Were you nervous before?
No, I was super excited because it really, it literally happened very soon after I was like, oh, I'm definitely going back to acting. Yeah. So I was super excited because I knew, I was a fan of the Purge movies. So I was just really excited that it was an actual meaty project. And I liked the role. I mean, I originally read for the bride role, the one that's cursing about the candy bar.
Yeah.
So, and that was such a fun audition. I had a blast.
What did they have you doing, like that exact scene, or they had you do?
They had me do those scenes and then improvise and act buck wild crazy. And the cool thing is that the stuff that I did, like the improv I did at the audition, the director let me do with the role that I got from it on set. So he was like, "You remember what you did in the audition? Can you? I'm just gonna let the camera roll and just go." And a lot of that made it onto Final Cut, which was cool.
No, that's dope.
Yeah.
Now, I know after The Purge, you had worked with Jennifer Lopez. She's from the Bronx as well.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows who J-Lo is. Now, tell me a little bit about that. Like, what was that movie about, and how did that come about?
Well, that's her TV show, Shades of Blue.
Okay.
So I did 2 episodes of that last summer. Yeah, last summer, and they actually just came out this summer. That was, like, I just went and auditioned and got the part, but it was really exciting working with her. That's also someone I really admire, because her hustle is insane.
Before you auditioned, did you know it was for her show? Or
yeah.
Were you nervous for that one? Or just more excited?
I mean, I get excited for everything I read for, because
you sound
I
like
love
you don't
it.
Get you don't get nervous before any audition, and that's good. That's actually great.
Some I do, and some I don't.
Yeah.
I think it depends. Like, nerves usually come when you feel underprepared, and that can happen just because life happens.
Yeah.
Or you can get nervous if you think too much about the implications of like, if I get this, what could this mean?
Yeah.
But. I've learned to know that nerves are gonna be there always, but you just need to learn how to harness them or use them in a productive way. Like, or find something in the character where like those nerves can like
balance each other out.
Be in there. Like, you know, there's some roles where like the person is nervous for some reason or another or you know, but I think I just focus on the work and try to like find a way to like stay really in the scene and connected and stuff. But
how did the audition come about? Your agent had told you to go to that one?
Yeah, it was through my agency. And it went, I think I had like a different take on the character. I just read, like I tried to really understand the scenes and try to not play the obvious takes. The more time you get to prepare for an audition, the more you're able to like find the little details that are gonna kind of like break you out of like the obvious of what you think and make it interesting. Like, that's my goal as an actor.
Yeah.
You know, just finding what am I missing here? That's like an underlying thing. And yeah.
And How long did the show take to film?
Well, I was just there for a day for each episode, so just a full day.
And how is it managing, you know, auditions now? Like, is it more about the money for you, or is it just more about the exposure?
It's more about the opportunities. And then also, I've come to a point where I know where I want my career to go. And it's also about saying yes to those roles and auditions that align with where you want to go, or that kind of fit the vision of where you want to take your career. But I love the process of preparing for an audition. I actually enjoy auditioning, I do. And it's only because I kind of figured out a way to make it work for me.
And what's that way?
Well, like, I have a system, so.
Please tell me.
It's too analytical. It would take too long. But the thing
got,
is, you know
how
what
long
it is?
Got?
You know what it is? I'm an engineer.
Yeah.
So I'm very left-brained, which a lot of people tell me sometimes can be a bad thing, but I also have a very strong right brain too, like the creative side. So it's just, I can't be completely right brain. Like, I can't be all about the creative. I need structure in my life.
Yeah.
It's just the way I am. I'm also a Capricorn. And an engineer, so I always I like to figure out systems. Something that I can depend on, that gives me ease and peace of mind. So I just have a system in place and know how I'm gonna structure my time when I prepare for an audition. Which is it goes from researching the project to just sitting there thinking about how is this gonna be shot? Like, as a director, how do I see this scene being shot? Like, what angles are they gonna use? What are they trying to say here? To what I think this character's like based on reading the scene a bunch of times. And then just, I like to practice on camera, see what works, what doesn't work, you know? So just I just have a system that I just go down and do it step by step. It doesn't always work that way, because sometimes you don't have a lot of time to prepare.
Yeah.
But that's what I try to do. Like, if I have enough time, I always come out knowing that I'm prepared, and that always helps with confidence.
Yeah.
And you just go in and trust that you did the work, and just show them what you would bring to the role.
Do you see yourself ever not just acting in the thing, but directing a movie or a film show?
Maybe down the line. Right now, I just see myself as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I do, I help out, help friends with auditions, and that's when I'm able to kind of, take on a, step away from it, because it's not me in front of the camera, and I think that's fun, too. I think it's a whole different creative aspect, and right now I'm just trying to work on getting better as an actor. Every day I want to be better than yesterday as an actor, and that's where my focus is right now. The line, yeah, if I'm in a series for a few years, I would love to be a direct some episodes, or direct my own projects, or help develop projects and stuff. So that's something that I definitely see happening down the line, yeah.
That's dope. Mike was telling me that you have a new project that you're working on called Canal Street.
Well, yeah, it's a film. It's an indie film. We shot it a year and a half ago in Chicago. So tomorrow I'm actually going to be at the HBO Latino Film Festival. We're going to do a screening and a Q&A after.
Where's that taking place at?
In the AMC in Times Square.
Dope.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a film we shot a year and a half ago. I was there in Chicago for almost an entire month. And
how is Chicago?
The weather was all over the place. It was nice. It's beautiful. I loved my time there.
Is it really
nice
the windy city, they say?
Yeah, and it's the you just never know what kind of weather you're gonna get. Yeah. We were there in April, so
sounds like Florida.
So I literally had to pack my winter coat and also
I'm sure
spring, summer stuff all in that 1 month. I got to wear everything I had packed.
Yeah.
So that's pretty wild. But I had such a great time. And yeah, the film is going to come out, I think, in September. I think this fall is when it's actually going to hit theaters. So we'll see how like the public reacts to it. We went to a few different festivals with it. So we went to the Pan African Film Festival in LA.
How do those work? Are those like all indie or?
What, the film festivals?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, so independent filmmakers, they do like shorts or feature films, sometimes even mini series.
Shorts are like what, 15 minutes or less or?
Yeah. Okay. So like a feature film is like a full length film, like over an hour. And then short films can range anything from like 5 minutes to 15 minutes, 20 minutes. So the filmmakers submit their films to these festivals, and I think they have judges who decide what they're gonna like show at the festivals.
That's dope.
Yeah.
And as for the Q&A, like what have you done? You went to the Women's Film Festival?
The Women's Film Festival and the Pan African Film Festival earlier this year with the film, yeah.
That's dope. Mm-hmm. Who were you working on Canal Street with? I definitely saw you post a picture with Mekhi Phifer, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so the film star is Brashear Gray, who plays Hakeem in Empire. Mekhi Phifer, Michael T. Williamson, Woody, so funny because I know him by his Instagram name.
What's his Instagram name?
Woody. I'm blanking out right now. Sorry, Woody. But, oh my God. Well, Harry Lennox. There's a few, like, great actors in this. And the storyline is about, like, a young kid from Chicago, from South Side of Chicago. He moves to, like, a more affluent neighborhood in Chicago with his dad. And he gets caught in the middle of this, like, murder case, because they find him standing over the body of another high school kid in this new neighborhood that he just moved into. So the film revolves around that case and how the media plays a huge role in like justice, especially nowadays, like the media, and through social media and everything, everybody has a say on who they think is guilty or not, and you know.
And what role are you playing in that film?
I play a girl that he meets at the new school that he goes to. Brashear's character, Coley, he meets me at the new school, and it's after my party that I throw that the whole murder takes place. So I get to know him kind of on a flirting little interest level. So I help his dad with the case in terms of like testifying and kind of being someone to advocate for Coley's character now.
That's dope. Mm-hmm. Out of Canal Street, working with J-Lo and Purge, which one would you say was the most fun experience for you?
The Purge. I would say the Purge. Why? I mean, it's just so crazy. It's just like fun in the sense of like, it's something that you're there like doing overnight shoots with dried blood, like blood on all over you. You're wearing crazy costumes.
You had to
costumes.
Use a stunt double or no?
Yes, that was so much fun. And I also like, that was the first time I ever helped out with the stunts, did some part of the stunts, which was terrifying.
What made it terrifying?
Well, you know the cars that we drove in? You can't see it in the movie, but we were driving so fast, and the streets were fogged up, so we couldn't see where we were going.
So you just driving.
And we had a stunt driver, so she knew what she was doing, but we were also wearing masks, so we had no visibility at all. So we're just swerving down the street, and they're like, swerve right! We have walkie-talkies, and the director's like, swerve right, swerve left. And we're just going like this, and it's just, because they fog it up, they fog up the street, so, and then it would break, and like, our hearts were beating so fast, and we're like scared shitless in this car, and then we're supposed to come out acting super tough with guns and AK-47, so that was a lot of fun, and then also watching my stunt doubles work was like, I don't know how stunt doubles do it, it's pretty intense, but that was pretty fun.
So you take the Purge over all of them?
No, I enjoyed each and every one of them. I mean, well, like for Canal Street, I was in Chicago for a whole month and I got really close to the cast and crew, and that was a fun experience, just shooting on location somewhere else. And we just had a lot of fun on like the downtime on a set. On a set like that, in independent films, where everybody like literally is there to for the script, for the story, you know? It was just, it was a lot of fun. And then, of course, like, I can't say that there was, they were just very different. You can't compare those three projects at all.
Nah, big blessing.
Let me tell you, like, standing across Jennifer Lopez, there was a moment I was just like, holy shit. Like,
I'm,
you know,
right here.
I'm like right here, like in front of her face. And like, I watched her since I was a kid.
Ain't working.
You know, since she did Selena, that's when like she came into my radar. So to be standing there, I'm glad I got that moment and it wasn't a blur. I think they were like changing the cameras and we're standing in front of each other. And I was like, this is what I do. You know, like, this is nuts. Like, this is what it's about. Getting to work with people you admire, that you can learn from, and also then becoming that person for someone else.
Yeah.
Down the line, you know?
It's a big humbling experience, honestly. Is there any directors that you want to see yourself working with? In specific, if any?
No, I don't have, I don't think I have a specific director that I would say that, like, this is what I'm in this industry for. Like, this is my goal. Maybe I don't have that because, like, I don't want to be disappointed if it never happens.
I feel you. You don't want to put too big of an expectation.
I mean, Spielberg, obviously. Yeah. When I first started getting into, like, researching how to become an actor, I remember I was taking this class and I decided to do a project on Spielberg, and like I read books about him and stuff. So that was the first time I like took an interest in really learning about a director, you know? So for that to come full circle, it'd be amazing. And it's funny because like at my master's graduation, he spoke at Harvard that year. So that was pretty cool. Because I was just like
fangirling for a second.
Yeah, it's cool. So, but no, I think there's so many amazing directors, and I think there's so many new directors in film and TV that they're gonna, like, I don't know who's gonna be the next big thing. Like, every day someone new comes up that had just a incredible eye, great ideas, you know. So I'm excited to see who are the next generation of directors that are going to rise up with the next generation of actors and actresses.
Do you think it's harder or easier with or without a booking agent, like, to find your own gig? Because some people can do it themselves, but agents, some people have, like, more of a connection.
Well, the way the industry works, everything's pretty much done through agents and managers.
Yeah.
It's just the way the industry is structured to get like those roles on those TV shows and those films that pay the money, you know?
Yeah.
It's all through agents and managers. It's just the way the industry is structured. Not to say that you can't find things on your own. You can. It's just a lot harder. It's a lot harder. And agents and managers, they not only get you the opportunities, they also take care of you as an artist, have your interests in mind in terms of where your career is going and what will benefit you. Also look out for you so that you don't fall into a set where you're being exploited or being asked to do things out of your, that you're not comfortable with. They speak on your behalf and put their foot down when it needs to happen. So they protect you.
Yeah, big prevention thing.
And they know all the business. They know all the... They know when a lawyer needs to come into place. They know, you know, they know the business aspect of it. And you need, that's their job. You know, you trust them to handle the finances and the negotiation and the contracts so that you're able to just focus on, like, the creative aspect of it and just focus on the actual work as an actor. Yeah.
All my actors, all my actresses, if you're listening, you definitely need a booking agent. You heard it here first. Now, we're going to end it off with this last question. What would you tell young aspiring actors and actresses if you could give them one piece of advice, what would you tell them?
I'll tell them what I tell myself every day, I guess, is to protect your energy, protect your confidence. I think, and your belief in yourself. I mean, this industry is just, it's mostly rejections. It's mostly rejections.
I say it's 10 L's before you get a W. That's my motto.
It's more than that in acting.
Definitely more than
Way
that.
Way more than that. But you, like, you need to have a self-belief. Like, if you, no one comes into this industry not thinking that they're gonna, like, everybody has some sort of, like, self-belief in that they will have the career that they want or their definition of what success is for them, right? So just always protecting that, because you can't let a bad audition or not getting this role that you really wanted affect that. You know, you just need to, like, I always, every day, I tell myself, protect your energy, protect your confidence, and, like, just always protect yourself, like, belief. I strongly believe that I'm gonna have the career that I want, and I just need to, it's human nature to let the setbacks get to you, but you need to, like, learn how to bounce back
yeah.
And not fall into that spiral of, like, feeling like you suck, like you're it's not going anywhere, feeling like you should quit. Because the incredible thing, another thing I also keep in mind is that you just never know. You really never know. In this industry, nothing's guaranteed to you. There's people that worked there so many years to get to where they are. Like, from the ground up, busting their asses, you know, building a body of work to get to where they are. And then you also have those who book a huge role from their first audition ever, yeah. And their lives are never the same. You just never know how it's gonna happen for you. You need to, like, always take those steps, obviously, for your career. Like, you can't stay lazy and let things fall into your lap because you think, like, maybe, you know, one day I'll just show up and that's how it's gonna happen. You have to put in the work, but you also need to trust that, like, you might not know how it's gonna play out for you, but the only way you're gonna get to where you're gonna go is if you keep with it, stay very true to, like, what you want and not give up, you know? I mean, what's the worst that can happen?
Came here with nothing, got nothing to lose.
Exactly. I mean, it's not always easy, but that's my advice. That's for anyone. That's my advice for myself and friends and everyone.
Those are gems. For those that don't know, well, I want to thank you for coming up to our podcast, Wani. Please tell the people where they can find you at.
I'm mostly active on Instagram, Wani.Felice, at Wani.Felice.
Can you spell that for the good people?
J-U-A-N-I. It's like Juan, but with an I. And then dot Felice, like Feliz Navidad.
Do you use Facebook, Snapchat, Skonex? Any of that?
Skonex. Oh my god, I bet my Skonex is live somewhere. Oh jeez.
So that's a no for Skonex.
But
a no.
I do have, like, Facebook and a Twitter, but I hardly go on those.
Well, thank you for coming up to our podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in.
Thank you for having me.
Always. Thank you for coming. Signing off, this is Josh DWH. Peace.
Why you living? If you ain't taking action, why you bitching? Go ahead, tell me that I'm switching. Hard to stick together when you sticking to your mission. Like, not everyone's gonna make it. Opportunity ain't given, gotta take it. This for all my go-getters, working off no sleep. We don't know no better.
Hey, it's Mike. Thanks for listening to Creative Hustle. If you'd like to learn more about how we're highlighting the creatives we love, visit our website, creativehustleshow.com. You can also find us on the Bronx Brand app by downloading it in the App Store. Follow us on social media at Creative Hustle Show and support by sharing our content with your friends. We truly appreciate the support. Keep creating.